The subject this evening is Gideon's army. And I've got no idea why Roger chose me to pick the subject and talk about this evening. That's supposed to be a joke, by the way. Because some of you don't know I work for the Gideons, or I did work for the Gideons for a long time. I'm still involved, but don't work for them anymore. And tonight we're going to be looking, actually, not just at the army, but some more to do with how God gets the honor and God gets the credit when we're prepared to give it to him, when we get our perspective in the right way. It's in the series of Judges, and we saw last week a little bit about Gideon and his call. This week is about the army, and next week we'll see a little bit more regarding his victory and of how God gives him the victory. Now, I don't know about you, I love the story of an underdog. Whenever you see a story like that, it always seems to warm the cockles of my heart. I always feel happy that the underdog comes and wins. You know, if a football game takes place, in the FA Cup maybe, and a non-league club, or a club from a lower division, actually beats a Premiership side and goes through, I always find that a good thing to see or hear about. Or maybe you see somebody who takes on a big company. They seem to be on their own, and all of a sudden, they win. Or maybe you see somebody actually taking the government on. And you go to a law court sometimes, a case, and they win. I have to say from my background, I'm always happy when somebody's on the HM Revenues and Customs and wins. Because it's a rarity. But now and again, it happens. And on the first reading of what we had this evening, what we read to us this evening, it seems to be the story of an underdog. Gideon, with a very small army, going to fight the hordes against him of Midian. And yet, actually, that's not what the story is about. The story's not about that at all. The lesson really is that God is going to be in control. And God is going to give Gideon the victory. You see, the story of the underdog is a bit like this, isn't it? If you've got a good heart, good team spirit, good determination, and you do your very best, then you might succeed. But as you look at this story, and we're only looking at a very small portion of it this evening, you will see it doesn't matter how big a heart Gideon had. It doesn't matter how determined he was. It doesn't matter how much team spirit he was able to engender in his troops. That was never going to be enough for him to gain the victory. The victory had to be given to God and gained through God. And God was going to teach Gideon a lesson. And the lesson was this: you have to trust me. You have to rely upon me. Because if you're going to do it yourself, it's not going to work. You're going to fail. But if you trust me and you follow my directions, my battle strategy, then you're going to succeed. Then you're going to see victory. Then you're going to see something which will blow your mind away. But remember, it's not you who's doing it. It's God who's doing it. Remember, Gideon, it's not you who are going to gain the victory, but I'm going to gain the victory. And he said that right at the beginning of what we read this evening. Verse 2, it says this: you have too many men. And I want to explore a little bit about how God gets the credit, but you have too many men. He's got 32,000. That seems a lot, doesn't it? Married up against what's against him. 132,000. He's 4-1 against. The most he could hope for, I suspect, is he could become an irritant to those who were attacking. And maybe through his irritability against the Midianites, they may just leave him alone for a while. Do you remember last week when Roger was sharing with us about the call of Gideon? That he was saying that the people had been oppressed for a long period of time. And in fact, even their leader was so frightened, he was threshing wheat in a wine press. And remember the picture we saw? It was a hole in the ground so that no one could see him. He managed to get 32,000 people who would say, look, follow me. Quite an inauspicious start, really. And God is now saying to him, well, that's too many. That's far too many for me to gain the victory. So there at this place called Harod, the spring of Harod, God comes along and speaks. By the way, the name Harod means fear or trembling. So what does God say to Gideon? You've got too many men, because they're going to boast if they win. But I want to show them it's not through their strength, but it's through my strength you're going to get the victory. So go and tell the men, if they're fearful, if they're trembling, they can go home. I think 22,000 of them were absolutely delighted and relieved. We don't have to fight. We can go home. We can leave it to the others. And they go home. It's only 10,000 now. And if it's 10,000, it's 132,000, 13 to 1. It's even less of a chance now, isn't it? He's going to win. Even less of a chance. He's going to do anything whatsoever. But he listens to what God has to say. And he doesn't complain, he doesn't groan, he doesn't mumble. He goes on. And God says to him, you've still got too many. We live in an age of defense cuts, don't we? This is really God's defense cuts. He's really cutting down his army from 32,000 to a group of men who will be at his utter command and will do exactly what he tells them to do. So now he tells Gideon, the next thing he's got to do then is to take them down to the water, take them down to the spring, and there at the spring, he will then select those who will be the right ones who are going to go into battle. The 10,000 go down to the spring to have some water to drink. And he tells them, I'll pick that one, and that one's to go. If I say not about that one, he's not to go. And he tells them how he's going to tell them, how Gideon is going to know. And he says this very clearly. Those that lap like a dog, they're the ones who are going to go into battle. The others, who maybe kneel down and pick it up with their hands, they're the ones I don't want. Just the ones who are going to lap like a dog. How many of you think are going to be left? You've read the story, or had it read to you. 300. No chance. Absolutely no chance whatsoever. Can you imagine 300 against 132,000? Don't forget, also last week, we were told quite clearly that the Midianites were like swarms of locusts coming over the land, attacking at will, destroying at will. We also heard last week that they had camels. It's a cavalry. All Gideon had was 300 infantry now against the cavalry and against the rest of all the troops of Midian. 300 against 160,000. No chance whatsoever. Not so with God. God can do abundantly more than we ask or imagine. If we're prepared to trust him, if we're prepared to rely upon him and follow his orders and follow his commands. Gideon was being taught a lesson. He was being taught a lesson that is this. Don't rely upon yourself. Rely upon me. I have to tell you that I find that quite difficult. When I want to be in control of something, I want to be in control of something. It's very difficult actually saying, okay, God, you take over. You do the leading. You do the directing. You tell me what to do, and I'll go and do it. I prefer to have it all sorted out in my mind. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. And often God will come to me and blow it all away and say, no, you got it all wrong, Julian. If you're going to do it that way, you're not going to win. You're not going to succeed. If you do it my way, then you're going to see me do things beyond what you could ever imagine. I know I shared with you before, a little while ago, I was in Mexico in a mission trip. And whilst I was there, I had it all planned out in many respects what was going to happen during the week. It was a very dangerous area, as I told you before. I never felt fearful at all during the week, even though there was a drug war that was going on, a very severe drug war that was going on, and it's still going on to this day. But on one occasion, we stopped to have a cup of coffee. And my plan was we'd have a very quick cup of coffee, we'd get back on the road again, and we'd get involved in the mission for a bit longer, and keep going throughout the whole day as long as we possibly could. When we got in to this little cafe to have a cup of coffee, the guy who was my interpreter said to me, we've got plenty of time here, Julian, just stay here. Enjoy your cup of coffee. Why, Bernardo? because Carlos, our driver, has ordered himself a meal. That's okay, it's been fairly quick. Oh no, he's ordered himself an hour's meal. He can eat all he likes for 1 hour. You know all these eat buffets you can go to? He did anything he liked for the full hour, and he did, by the way. He kept going back and forth to the buffet, or they kept coming to him, bringing him either hot food or he'd get some cold food. And he ate for the full hour. And I think, I'm not here for this. We're involved in the mission. We've got a work to do. And then God spoke to me and said, look, all the people around here, there's a mission around here. We need to do something about this. And particularly the girl who's our waitress, who's coming back and forth to us time and time again. So I was talking to the two guys I was with, Carlos and Bernardo, and said to them, I think we should do something for our waitress. If you've ever been in any Spanish-speaking lands, mañana, tomorrow will do. Put it off and put it off. And they kept putting it off and putting it off. And so I think they got fed up with me actually saying to them, I think we should do something. And so ultimately they said, okay, we'll speak to this lady and we'll give her some scripture. They started speaking to the lady. And he started speaking to her about her own spiritual state. And she actually opened up quite openly to us. And after a short while, it became very clear she was ripe, actually, to receive Christ as a Savior. There in that restaurant, she came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That hour was not a wasted hour. Because I was trying to do my thing rather than do God's thing. And when God led us in that direction, we saw blessing. Blessing more than we could have imagined. That's not what we expected when we went in for a cup of coffee. When we follow God's plans, God does abundantly more, I said, than we ask or we imagine. And in Gideon's case, he had to truly rely upon God. His life was on the line. God had promised him, I'm going to give you a victory. I've called you, I'm going to equip you, and you're going to win. If he doubted God's promises, he and all the Israeli army would be defeated and they would be slaughtered. And the oppression and suppression would last for a very much longer period of time. But he believed his God. He trusted his God. And even though he seemed small in number, God used him then to bring the victory. I was thinking about that in relation to our current standing in Christianity in this country. You see, sometimes we think a little bit like Gideon in some respects. We're small, we're insignificant, we can't possibly make a difference. It was said this morning, it's been said a number of occasions, that 5% of the people in this country will go to church, which means 95% of the people don't, and either reject or they're ignorant of what the church really stands for. That's 19-1 against. And yet we are told we're to go out to those people, aren't we? We're to invite them in, but we're also to go out to them. And we're to go out to them to show them the love of God and to demonstrate the love of God and to show God in our lives, working in and through our lives, that he'll get the honor, that he will get the glory, but their lives may be impacted and their lives might be changed. And yet, we want to stay in the comfort of the church. You see, it's comforting in here, isn't it? It's nice to be together tonight, isn't it? It's good to have some fellowship together, to be encouraged together. But actually, it's out there where the rubber hits the road. And sometimes, we're quite prepared to do a skirmish. You know, we'll go out there, and maybe, and excuse me what I'm going to say now, we'll do some healing on the streets for the Saturday. We'll come back to the church afterwards. Or we'll do the big God tent for a weekend. But at the end of it, we've got, oh, I'm glad it's over. We can come back in here. But actually, that's where the people are. That's where we need to be. Out where those people are, explaining to them, living before them, the life that God has given us to live. Working out his battle strategy in our lives, day by day, as we read the Word of God, as we pray, and as we let him take total control. As he let him get the honor and the glory then within our lives. I fully support healing on the streets, by the way. And I fully support the big God tent. But they're only markers, aren't they? We need to keep on keeping on in those areas and more, that people will actually have an impact in their lives. Not our impact, but God's impact. As long as we stay inside here, they'll never know. When we get out there, that's when they start to know. That's when they start to see the difference. And I'm so glad what we've seen in recent weeks, that the message is getting out there. The people are coming in because they're hearing of good things that are taking place in here. But it's not us take the credit. Let God take the credit. For God is the one who's at work in this place. If we take the credit, all we're really doing is pushing God to one side. Let Him take the credit. Let Him have the honor. Let Him have the glory. Let us magnify His name, not just in Zion, but here and in our lives every day. And then I tell you, what we're seeing at the moment is only a few drops of what we're going to see. We're going to see a shower. We're going to see rain. What our message for last year? We hear the sound of the abundance of rain. At the moment, we've got the drops. It's coming. It's coming if we are prepared to walk in God's ways. If we are prepared to follow His battle strategy. You see, each one of us is called. There were 300 men that were called. Maybe more of us altogether in the church here and elsewhere in Penarth. But God's called us. And God's equipped us. And God's power is upon us. His Holy Spirit is within us and we're on us. And all He wants us to do is to say, right, you take control, Lord. Then you can have the honor. You can have the credit. You can have the glory. Well, how often we don't do that. And Gideon had to be told very clearly, just keep trusting. Just keep going on. You see, sometimes we don't give God the credit in various obvious areas of our lives. How many of us here, and I'm one of them, is concerned and get anxious and get worried? Yes, hands are going up all over the place for various things. Why do we get anxious? Why do we get worried? God does take care of us. God does provide for us. How many of us have groan and mumble and complain because things aren't going quite in the way we want it to go? Or we seem to be seeing things which seem to be a bit unfair and there's a lack of justice. Our God's a God of justice. Our God is a God of righteousness. Our God is a God who cares. Sometimes we pray, don't we? Give us this day our daily bread. We also say, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And as we actually put those things into practice, why do we complain? Why do we worry? He's in work in all of those things to bring us blessing, to bring us into a place of victory. You see, when you look at your life, and when I look at my life, I think of all the deficiencies that are there, of all the weakness that is there, of all the sin that is there. But I'm amazed. God still loves me. And God still cares for me. And God will continue to keep caring for me and will continue to keep providing for me, irrespective of how I walk with Him. He will provide even more when I walk with Him in a good way, in a way that truly credits Him, in a way that truly honors and exalts Him. I have to say, I want to see more of that in my life. I want to see more of His honor in my life. I want to see more of His glory in my life. I think that is for each one of us as well. We want to see that, don't we? And yet, we tend to hold back. We tend not to let go. We tend not to be like Gideon, who even put his life on the line in his defense of God's honor and God's glory. I read only a little while ago, and I was reminded last week of something which absolutely blows my mind away, that about 300,000 Christians every year are martyred for their faith. We're in the 21st century. We're in an age of tolerance, or meant to be tolerant. an age of understanding and acceptance. Yet throughout the world, 300,000 of our brothers and sisters are dying every single year because they stand up and be counted. I don't think maybe that'll be the case for us. It's a bit easier for us here, isn't it? But are we prepared to be mocked? Are we prepared to be scorned? Are we prepared to be sidelined? Are we prepared maybe to have our careers put on hold in order that God might have the honor? That God might have the glory? Gideon did that, and he was brought success. He was brought victory. And when that came about, as we'll think about in next week, and I won't be preaching next week, somebody else will be doing that, we will see how great that victory was. But how do we get trained then? So we're all saying all these things. How do we actually get trained in the way of God's battle? How do we actually wage the warfare that God wants us to wage? We do it through submission. We do it through yielding. But we do it through knowledge. Through what God's word actually says. Roger reminded us this morning of what that means. To actually look at the word of God, to read the Bible, and not just read the Bible and skim over it, but study it and meditate upon it and read it and assimilate it into our hearts, into our lives. The psalmist said this, how can I not sin against God? And the answer was this, by hiding God's word in our hearts. If we want to follow God's strategy, read the Bible. Now, you know you're going to say, I'm going to say that, being involved in the Gideon, handing out scriptures. But it's not just giving them out. It's reading it. And it's actually reading it and rereading it and rereading it. One of the ladies in our small group, whose husband is not a believer, says, her husband says to her now and again, why do you keep on reading that book? Haven't you read it once too often? You're reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it. I don't know why she reads it. Because she wants to know God better. She wants to know God's ways better. She wants God to work in her heart and in her life in a more deeper way. Isn't that true for each one of us? Do we want God to work in our hearts in a deeper way? To maybe take out that which is unhealthy. To cut away the cancer, as it would be, that might be there in our heart that turns us away from God. And instead replace it with that which is supple in his hands. Where we are malleable in his hands. Where we actually understand what his word is. And not just be hearers then, to be doers of it as well. To go on the streets and be involved in the healing. To be involved in the 24/7 prayer, praying for the nation and the town and the church and those we know and love. To be involved in the big God tent. To be involved in other activities where we proclaim the name of Jesus. But doing it in his way. Letting him lead us in the various areas we should move into. But it's also being trained through prayer as well. To understand what God says to us needs to be assimilated into our hearts through reading the word of God, but actually praying. Downstairs is a lovely phrase which has been written up on the whiteboard downstairs. That God works in the bad times for the good. God works in the bad times for the good. We may be living, in terms of Christianity in this country, in the bad times in many respects. But I think it's the good times too. Because we have a great opportunity at the moment to actually get out there and speak to people with no preconceived notions or preconceived ideas. They can actually understand what we have to say. We need to pray, don't we? And how do we need to pray? You know, 24/7 is for 1 week. We need to keep on praying, don't we, all the time? What does Paul tell us very clearly? We should pray in all circumstances. This is God's will for you in Christ Jesus, in the good times and in the bad times. And you know, we need to understand as well that when we do that, God is for us. Even when we don't do it, God is still for us, by the way. God is for us, and he wants the best for us. He wanted the best for his people, Israel. But why were they in the state they were in? Because they turned their backs on God. They rebelled against God. And God told them what was going to happen. He told them, if you keep doing those things, you're going to face the consequences. And I think we're facing the consequences in our own land in many respects. because we turned our backs as a nation upon God. And we've not followed God's ways. We've not honored God. We've not given God the glory. We've not magnified his name. We've not served him, but rather sometimes we've served ourselves. And as a result of that, we've seen a diminution in the way we've had an impact. That's not God's way. He wants us to have an impact. He wants us to be a prayerful people. He wants us also to be a people who know his word, but he also wants us to be a spirit-filled people. You see, it's not just having the word. It's not just having the prayers. It's actually having the spirit take control. If you look beyond these words that we've read this evening, it was the Spirit of God who was in control. He was the one leading and guiding and directing Gideon. And Gideon's 300 men, and only 300 of them, were going to change things. If you come across into the New Testament, we see a small bunch of men, not ones that I would choose normally to be my supporters. 12 of them. 11 in the end, one was replaced by Noah's 12. What do we read about them? They turned the world upside down. That's odds, isn't it? 12 against the world. But they succeeded because they were spirit-filled. The Spirit of God fell upon them and they changed their own hearts, their own lives. And through them, God changed the world. We can make a difference, you know. We may be small in number, but numbers mean nothing to God. What matters to God is an open heart, an open hand, to hold the things of this world lightly, whether it be our time, our treasure, or our talents, and say we are what we are by the grace of God. And let the grace of God then work in us to make a big impact. Do you think sometimes you're not making a difference? I do. What am I doing? Is it all worth it? Am I going to see a victory? Am I going to see that abundance of rain that I talked about earlier on? Yes, we are. And yes, I am. If prepared, just allow him to take control. Let him have the honor. Let him have the glory. Let's magnify his name in Zion. You see, as I look at the story of Jesus, look at him hanging upon a cross. Helpless, or it seems, defeated. And he cried from the cross, finished. He was the victory. He was the victor. He won the victory. He trampled all over Satan in his domain, and he rose victorious. And that power that rose him from the dead is the same power in you and me. And when we understand and recognize that, that makes a difference, doesn't it? I find it incredible, isn't it? That the one who rose God, the God who rose our Lord Jesus Christ from the grave, that same power is resident in us. And it's upon us. All he asks is we allow him to use that power. We'll not do so. And as we do so, let's be part of Gideon's army then. Not 300, but a lot more than that. Giving him honor, giving him glory. And seeing his kingdom come. Do you want to be part of that army? Glad somebody said it. I do. I want to be part of that army. I want to be part of that kingdom. If you're not part of it, you can become part of it tonight. And if you are part of it, then be sold out for God. Let him take over. Let him lead, guide, and direct you. And I'll tell you, he'll do abundantly more than you ask or imagine. May it be so for Jesus. Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word, Lord, and let there be light. May that be true in each one of our hearts and true in this nation and this world of ours. Lord, as we separate in a short while, can you bless us and fill us with your spirit? We might be about your business today and every day. We offer ourselves to you in Jesus' name. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace, both now and forevermore. Amen.